Welcome to Hold Fast, the radio broadcast of Christ Fellowship Bible Church. Stay tuned for some announcements, some singing, and some preaching from God's Word. Good morning and welcome to Hold Fast, the radio broadcast of Christ Fellowship Bible Church. My name is Steve Willing and I pastor Christ Fellowship Bible Church here in Marion Station. Thank you for joining us this morning. It's good to always have our regular listeners, and if you're new to us as well, welcome today. Thank you for coming on board with us. We hope the Lord would just use this program to be a blessing to you and that He would minister to your hearts through it. Christ Fellowship Bible Church is an independent church that serves the Crisfield-Marion Station area, and we begin our Sunday mornings with our worship service that starts at 10 o'clock. We have a time of singing, praying together, and we have the preaching of the Word. I have some fellowship time before and after most mornings, always hanging around. So we'd love to have you come and join us today. Also remember that we do stream online. And you can catch us on Facebook. We're actually going to be starting to stream on YouTube. And so everybody can join us. So you don't have to have to be signed in on Facebook on YouTube. You can just check us out there. And we'll also have the link on Facebook that you can go back and just click on Facebook and or click on be on Facebook and click on the link and come back to us on YouTube. This evening, we usually have our evening worship service, and that starts at 6. But tonight, we are having our final picnic for the year, and we've got a big water slide for the kids. This is a going back to school picnic. So we center it all around the kids. We'll have plenty to eat. The big water slide is going to be put up, and everybody will be able to enjoy themselves. So those of you that are children at heart, that you can come on out and you can get on the water slide, too. It's a good size one, so we're looking forward to that. Another time that our church family gets together. And come on out and join us. We don't mind the visitors, guests. Please come, and you might like what you see. Also, just keeping in mind that no Bible study this week. We'll pick Bible study up after that of Labor Day. And also, we've got Crab Derby coming up. Crab Derby is right around the corner for us, and there is a time slot between 1 and 2:30 at the Crab Bowl this year for some Christian music, and got a lot of local talent that's going to be there, so looking forward to that. So come and join us between 1 o'clock and 1:30, Crab Derby weekend on Sunday morning. So keep that in mind. Mark your calendars for that, and I'll remind you next week of it as well and the week after. And lastly, on October 7th, now I know that's a ways out yet, but Saturday, October 7th, the church here, we are having our second annual fall festival, and we've got a lot going on. We did it last year. It was very successful. Had a lot of people come. The kids enjoyed it. And just to give you a little just a little briefing on what we're doing, we're going to have the outside. We're going to have the bounce house. We're going to have pumpkin painting. We've got face painting. We're going to have fresh popcorn. We've got free books, Christian authors, and just some good material there. We also have take-home gift bags for the kids, apple cider. We're going to have time for family photo ops. We've got have somebody there taking pictures of everyone and some different backdrops. We've got hay bale bowling. For those of you who like bowling, you can come on in and try the hay bale bowling. And we're going to have free burgers, hot dogs, drinks, all the rest of it. We're going to have that all happening there Saturday, October 7th, 11 to 2, our annual fall festival. Come out and join us for it. We are looking forward to it. And like I say, it was a good time last year, so I'm sure this year's just going to be just as good. And Icy Mike's snowball truck is going to be on scene. So you can, right before you leave, you can go ahead and grab you a snowball too. So that sounds good. Well, with all that, got a song, and as that song is playing, go ahead and grab your Bibles, and we are going to be headed over to the book of Joshua, and I'll be back just in a few moments.
Praise be unto the name that is above every other name. There are things as we travel this earth-shifting sand that transcend all the reason of man. But the things that matter the most in this world, they can never be held in our hands. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I believe whatever the cost. And when time has surrendered and earth is no more, I'll still cling to the old rugged cross. I believe that the Christ who was slain on that cross has the power to change lives today. For he changed me completely, a new life is mine. That is why by the cross I will stay. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I believe whatever the cost. And when time has surrendered and earth is no more, I'll still cling to the old rugged cross. I believe that this life with its great mysteries surely someday will come to an end. But faith will conquer the darkness and death and will lead me at last to my friend. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I believe whatever the cost. And when time has surrendered and earth is no more, I'll still cling to the old rugged.
And that was Steve Corbin singing for us this morning. Steve's our guitar player on our worship team. Always does an outstanding job for us. And he'll pull a solo once in a while like he did this morning. That was very good. A hill called Mount Calvary. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary where my Savior died for my sin. And those that would believe on him, that he would die for their sin as well, that he put his place, he took their place on that cross that day. Well, I want us to turn our attention to the book of Joshua this morning, picking up where we left off last week. We're in chapter 6, And we are looking at where Joshua now, his last time, he had met with the commander of the army of the Lord, and Joshua said, "Hey, are you with them or are you with us?" And he was like, "No, but as the commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." He is the commander of God's armies, and God, he will be on God's side. And we know that he, that Israel is his people, and he will certainly be fighting for Israel. And in doing so, that now the Lord speaks to Joshua, because we understand that Jericho, that big city, was going to be one of the first that they would need to take to establish themselves in the promised land. So that's where we pick it up, chapter 6, looking at verse 1. It says, "Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king, and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all the men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And the priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark.'" But it tells us, "But the 7th day," it says, "that you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, then, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout, then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up every man straight before him. Then Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priest and said to them, 'Take up the Ark of the Covenant. Let 7 priests bear trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord.' And he said to the people, 'Proceed and march around the city, and let him who is armed advance before the Ark of the Lord.' So it was, when Joshua had spoken to the people, that 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord advanced, and they blew the trumpets, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priest who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the ark, while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. Now Joshua commanded the people, saying, 'You shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout, then you shall shout.' So he had the Ark of the Lord circle the city, going around it once, and then they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the Ark of the Lord. Then the 7 priests, bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord, went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them. But the rear guard came after the Ark of the Lord, while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. And the 2nd day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. And so they did 6 days. But it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose early, about the dawning of the day, and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner. On that same day they marched around, on that day only they marched around the city 7 times, and the 7th time it happened, when the priest blew the trumpets, then Joshua said to the people, 'Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, it and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are in her house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And you, by all means, abstain from the accursed things. Let you become accursed when you take of the accursed things, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord.' So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep and donkey, with the edge of the sword. But Joshua said to the men who had spied out the country, 'Go into the harlot's house, and from there bring out the woman and all that she has, as you swore to her.' And the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, and all that she had. So they brought out all her relatives and left them outside the camp of Israel. But they burned the city and all that was in it with fire. Only the silver and gold and the vessels of bronze and iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua spared Rahab the harlot, her father's household, and all that she had. So she dwells in Israel to this day because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Then Joshua charged them at that time, saying, Cursed be the man before the Lord, who rises up and builds this city Jericho. He shall lay its foundations with his firstborn, and with his youngest he shall set up its gates. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout all the country. So we pause today, and we see that God has commanded Joshua what to do, that he would have the city, have the people march around the city for 7 days. The first 6 days, they would march around the city one time, and the priests themselves, the seven trumpets, would blow the sound, and they would continue to blow, and they would walk around the city once, and then they'd go back to the camp. But the seventh day that we see that the Lord had commanded Joshua to have the people just not march around it once, but seven times with the blowing of the ram's horns. And then when they marched around it that seventh time and the priest blew the trumpets, they were to shout. And the Lord had said that the walls themselves will come, as the song went, tumbling down. And that's exactly what happened. We know that the Lord had said, this is what I want you to do. Joshua commanded the people to do it. And the Lord was faithful to his word, and they went up, and the only ones that were delivered out of that city were Rahab and her family. Everything else was utterly destroyed, with the exception of silver and gold, bronze and iron, and they were put into the treasuries of the house of the Lord. Now, what does that say to us today? What is that speaking? Well, we look at the instructions, right? And we're like, well, couldn't God just have, had them march around at one time? Couldn't a God just said shout? Couldn't have God said just blow the trumpets and then it would just fall down and they could go up in? Sure. Matter of fact, God, he could have, in that of his power, that he could have just said, you guys sit still and I'm just going to knock these walls down. You won't do a thing. I'll just push them over myself. I'll just do it without any of your actions whatsoever. But God requires people to have faith. That's one thing that we see throughout the Word of God, is the necessity for faith. Now, we look at this in hindsight, and again, we can ask the questions, well, why didn't this or why didn't that? Couldn't the God just done this? And sure, he could have. He could have had them do a lot of different things or done nothing. But what we see is that the Lord, again, requires faith. He requires you to trust him, to trust in his word. So you may have had some people who were like, why? Why all this marching and blowing of trumpets? Why all this shouting at the end? Why? But God, again, wants us just to trust him. And sometimes, folks, we would read something like this and we would like, well, that's just kind of foolish. But not at all. Because God looked for obedience. So for him, again, using Israel, and not that Israel's trumpet blowing or shouting brought the walls down. That's what some more, can we say, progressive thinkers, they say, oh, well, this is how it happened. They want to try to look at the record and say, oh, yes, well, yeah, the walls fell, but it's because the sound of the trumpets and the marching around had weakened the walls. And then by the time the seventh day occurred and they tramped around it seven times and then blew the trumpets and all the people shouted, the foundations were already weak and then they finally fell. And it's no, it was all about God's power right from the very beginning. It wasn't that the sound of the trumpets or the shouting of the people or the marching of the people's feet weakened the walls. It was still all about God's power. But God required Israel to have faith in what he said. So even as, if we want to use a term like a bizarre as it may sound, to say, well, why did he just have them do that? Because God wants people just to trust him. To trust him in his word. And that was one of the things that we see Israel had struggled with. Is just trusting God in his word. Because God would tell them what needed to go on, what needed to happen. And as we read right up until this point with Joshua, that they just wouldn't. They just wouldn't believe that God would do what he said he would do. And now we see that the Lord is causing Israel to act. He causes them to act and that's part of obedience, friends. That's part of obedience. When we speak about our faith of which we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, obedience. I can't say it enough because we have this idea that we can have some kind of superficial kind of faith in God without obedience. And that's not so. That's not biblical. The Bible doesn't teach that whatsoever. Throughout the entire scriptures, it teaches us that of the need. If we are saying we have faith, then dear friends, we're going to be obedient. We're going to walk faithfully with God. And not that I today am saying that I have walked perfectly, no more than any other person has, with the exception of Jesus Christ. He was it. He was the one that was set before us, lived the perfect sinless life, that believing in him, we can have eternal life. So when we read this historical account of the fall of Jericho, I want you to keep in mind that it is all of it is about the power of God. All of it. It's not about horns weakening walls. It's about God's power. But he required the people of Israel to have faith. He required them to have faith in him and to do what he said to do. You know, we come into the New Testament and the call is the same. Some people just cheapen grace. They talk about by grace you're saved through faith, that not of works, it is a gift of God. And I know that, and I know I'm saved by grace. I know that God, by his grace, has brought me out of my sin and saved me. I know that it was nothing I could do to save myself. I know that there's nothing I can do to keep myself. There's nothing I can do. But when I believed upon Jesus Christ, by the grace that God gave me to be saved, God gave me a new nature to walk with him in a faithful walk. To walk a life of obedience. Is that always perfect? No, it's not. But that's not an excuse. I don't look to make excuses for disobedience. And neither should you. Because if we are truly saved people, then we are going to walk by faith. That's what it is. So God said, walk around the city, blow the trumpets, shout in the end. That's what God said do. And by faith, the people did it. And God responded. And we see this particular principle carried throughout the scriptures. He calls people to believe him, to trust him, to trust in his word. Because friends, when it all boils down, that's what's going to be left. The scripture tells us when we talk about this world, The Bible says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. What God has promised will stand the test of time. And that's why the Lord asked you today to trust him. Even in those times when there is insurmountable odds against you, the taking of a secured city, he tells those people, trust me. Do what I say. And this morning we find ourselves, just as Israel, God calling us to trust him. Believe what I've told you, trust in my promise, and all will be well. I will ultimately, even in the midst of death, that God himself will ultimately carry us on into heaven with him, if we truly believe through the saving of the soul. And that's where it lies. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And if I have genuine saving faith, if I have believed in Jesus Christ unto the saving of the soul, then God has given me the gift of his Holy Spirit. He's indwelt me with his power to continue to sanctify me, to continue to set me apart as his own. And I will be, as Jesus spoke about, that good tree that will bear good fruit. I will be, as the Apostle Paul had written in Galatians, I will be that individual who will bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love and joy and peace. All those things of which Paul described, I will bear those things as a believer. I'll walk not in that of my flesh, but I will walk in the Spirit. And not in some kind of mystical, fantastic way. I'll just be walking in that of the power of God in obedience. And friends, that's what we see right here. At the fall of Jericho, is God saying, here's what I need you to do. Trust me. And the people went out and did exactly what God said to do, and the victory was theirs. Today, nothing has changed. God tells us to be obedient, to be faithful, to trust me. And he will see us through, even in the midst of our most difficult and trying circumstances, that for us as born again believers, the Lord will see us through. And I pray today that if you're going through a trying time as a Christian, that you trust him, that you just lay hold of him and say, Lord, it may be a big wall, but I'll hold on to you. I'll trust you. And friend, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ today, I pray that you would search your soul today and ask the Lord for forgiveness of sin and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. My name is Steve Willing, and I pastor Christ Fellowship Bible Church in Marion Station. If you would like to ask any questions or have any comments, or if you got any prayer requests, please feel free to call 443-235-3618. You can go to our website, which is cfbc413.org. That's cfbc413.org. You can drop us a note in the mail, 5910 Crisfield Highway, Marion Station, Maryland, 21838. And just as a reminder, everything that we have far as online, you can find right there at our website, our Facebook page, our podcast page, our YouTube page. All of it's right there. But we'd love to have you come out and join us. So again, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and give you peace. God bless.